Welcome to the Real Estate Trainer Podcast with your host, Brian Eisenhower. This podcast is brought to you by Eisenhower Coaching and Consulting. ICC provides customized and structured coaching and training programs for real estate agents and team leaders, representing many of the top producing agents in North America. ICC also offers broker and owner consulting on agents recruiting, training, and retention. For more info, visit EisenhowerCoaching.com or find us on Facebook.
Hi, Brian.
Hi, Des.
I'm having a struggle bringing in new business, like new prospects.
Yeah, what are you doing to get new prospects right now?
Right now, I'm just going through my SOI and asking if they know of anyone.
I like that. How big is your SOI, Des?
It's a little over 300.
Oh, good. Okay, good. Excellent. I will tell you, you know, telling people that we need listings right now matters because people don't necessarily know that. You know what I mean? Like they don't know that the market's red hot on fire. So you calling every 300 people in your SOI and just saying, hey, man, hey, how's it going? Touching base. By the way, who do you know that's looking to sell their house? Because we have a housing crisis right now. The biggest one we've probably had, you know, since the Great Depression. We do not have enough houses and homes to put over people's heads right now. So we need more listings. My whole office needs more listings. I was in a meeting this week with my entire company, you are right now, talking about how we all have buyers and there aren't enough houses for sale. So if you want to make the most money, now would be the time. There's a no doubter about that. If you want to net the most proceeds, you put a house up for sale right now, you have the highest likelihood with these low interest rates, with no competition on the market, that you're going to get multiple offers that you can counter and drive up to the highest price possible. So that script is honest. It is true. And quite frankly, it needs to be said a little bit more. Like our economy needs that. Our country needs that. Like we need to let people know it's okay to do something, to leave your house right now, to sell real estate right now, to go out and look for, you know, to do something. It's okay to take action. This is unique because we've never ever had this type of market before where we had to tell people it's okay to leave your house. It's okay to go look at a property. It's safe. We're trained to do this. We're deemed essential. You know, the market's hot. It's also a very good time to do it. The only way we're going to have those conversations, Des, is you having them one-on-one. Because if you don't have it, it's not going to be another agent that has it. Because agents don't do this. Call their SOI and stay in contact with their past clients? Yeah, right. Very few of you guys do that. So you don't have to worry about that. But what you do have to worry about is that they go to like, they hang out with their friends or talk to somebody, and somebody like that gives them some really highly intelligent information that they act upon. The economy is going crazy, the election, all these things that they can say to scare each other, but they don't understand how supply and demand works like we do.
Thank you.
Makes sense? They don't. Supply dominates demand. Does that make sense? A lot of people don't know that. In the supply and demand is the most important factor in determining the real estate market, at least the value of homes. However, if you're comparing supply versus demand, supply is 10 times more powerful than demand. For example, 25% of America lost their jobs this summer. So in theory, demand would go down a bit. Didn't feel like it. That's because supply was so low. Demand could go, but if supply is low, I mean, I don't know how you get demand as low as supply is right now. You know what I'm saying? Like that would be hard. There'd have to be some like trend about living in the back of your car or something. I don't know. I don't know how it happened because right now just nobody wants to sell. So it's very hard to get inventory. So the key is to get that out. And Des, I think that really will be news to a lot of people. And I think you're doing it because we need listings and we're trying to get the word. If you're trying to wait till next spring or something like that, that's a mistake financially. And I'll tell people that. I'll say, hey, you're the boss. I work for you. You want to sell this house in April of 2021? I'm there for you. I got you. However, it's my job to give you all the material information you need to make decisions about when you should sell, what price you should sell it for, to make all the important decisions, because that's those decisions you've got to make. So if you want my advice, it's always going to come on the financial side of things because I don't know how you feel. I don't know, you know, your family's wants and needs are very specific to you. You can try to convey them to me and I will help. But the one part that I do know is I know financially when you buy or sell a house, that can matter. And I can tell you right now is the safest time to list your house for sale in the last, I don't know, 80 years at least. It's never been safer that you'll get a good price above market than right now. So you notice I use the word safe? So what I'll do, I use a thing called buzzwords. So when people have a decision to make, like this one, list in April or list in October, I'll use buzzwords to slowly steer my clients towards the right decision for their best interest through my buzzwords, or my keywords, I should say. I call it keyword backtracking. So what I'll do is I'll say, okay, so if we list now, it's the safe conservative play, because we know what happens right now. That thing's gone. You're picking prices. That's listings right now. Now more than ever, at least, relatively speaking. So that's the safe conservative play. If you try to wait till April, that seems like a huge dice roll to me. So we are not recommending that to our clients. In fact, I was in an office meeting with a ton of the agents in our office, which you are right now, where we all talked about advising our clients, get this done. Now's your window. You have the lowest interest rates in history. You have the lowest inventory in history. Who knows what an election does? Who knows? I mean, there's so many freaking things that could change this perfect storm between now and April. You know what I mean? We've got COVID that could change it. We've got a presidential election that could change it. We've got all this stuff that could upset this perfect apple cart. Go. I know it's inconvenient. And if it's too inconvenient for you, like I said, I'm your guy in April too. I'm here for you. Only you can tell me how inconvenient it is. I'm going to try to tell you, do it now because I want you to have more money later. That's my job, is to look out for your finances. It's your job to look out for your feelings, your emotions, and what you want, like what is inside your heart and your soul. My job is to really watch out for that pocketbook. So that's what I'm going to tell you. How big is the inconvenience? That's a script for overcoming an objection to people that want to wait till after the holidays to buy or sell real estate. And you guys are starting to get some of those people, aren't you? You know, I want to see how this all settles out. I want to wait till after the election, wait till after the holidays, wait till COVID calms down. I see a lot of you smiling. That's because you've heard that. I just don't want to deal with it right now. That's how they always are. Okay, I get that, but hear me out first. Because my job is to look out for your best interests, and this is pretty material information. What do you think of this? Now it's your decision after hearing all the reasons why you should now. Can you guys give me other reasons why someone should list their home for sale now, before the holidays, well before the holidays, rather than wait till next spring when the market is supposedly hot because it's a spring market?
I was going to say some of our listings that I've taken, and I hit four last month and three of them are under contract right now. And the biggest draw was their ability to purchase another home and take advantage of the low rate. So yes, two of them wanted to wait till next year to kind of see where things go. But the reality was that they were still going to purchase the next home. And why not take advantage of a two something or a three something and run with it from there? And by the way, we put their homes under contract within a week. You know, so you had those things at play. And you know, that's what they were pretty excited about.
I like that. I like that. What are some other objections that you're hearing about people wanting to wait, or some ways to overcome that? Give me more of them. Give me objection handlers. I love that, Philip. Thanks.
I'll say just dig deeper in what they want, you know, in terms of, you know, this is a question I picked up from Masterminds today. And it's a shorter version of what I would get through, but is your home going to fit your needs for the next 5 years? And so a lot of times that, you know, they're going to describe what they don't like about their home. And then, you know, you're able to provide a home that could be a better fit for them, whether it's having extra space because of distance learning, working from home, downsizing from a two-story down to a single-story home, and taking advantage of Prop 60, Prop 90. You know, that was something that helped a lot, is finding that motivation of what they would want in the next house.
Got it.
And in this case, the question is asking, how is your home going to fit your needs for the next 5 years?
Ooh, I like that one. I see a lot of people writing. That tells me like people are like getting things. I don't know. Do you guys still write? Do you guys use pens? I use pens. I think they're great. Great. Oh, yeah, look at that. Yeah. Oh, okay. There we go. Okay. Look at all these. Yeah, we're low tech. We like to act like we're on Zoom, but we're all low tech. Yeah. okay. So that's good. I love that one, Philip. Another good one. What else we got? Anybody else got one? Why now? Not later. Why now? I want to wait. Why now? Not later. I'll wait till after the holidays. Wait for that spring.
I think it was Jody who said it a few weeks ago. She said, digging deep to find the motivation. I don't know if it was on this or at her office meeting call, but she said, just find the motivations, ask more questions. You know, it's one thing to just say, hey, you're going to make X amount of dollars. It's another thing to say, hey, this X amount of dollars will help you get to ABC, you know? And so just kind of figuring out where they want to be in 3 months and ask them, how's their experience been in the neighborhood during quarantine? You know, the initial part of it, a lot of people were actually pretty negative compared to just walking around and being grateful. People were actually PO'd about their homing situation. So, you know, a lot of my clients or people I've talked to have kind of shed light on what they would change and what an awesome intro into, well, awesome. If you could change that, where would you go to next? Right. So that's a lot of that is just listening.
Got it. Okay. I'm writing some of these down myself, by the way, too. Okay. I like that one. Anybody else got one? Sellers want to wait. Sellers want to wait. And I'll give you another one. Seller wants to wait till after COVID, till after the holidays, till after the election. I can't imagine what you're doing with yourself in the meantime. Like, I would want to distract myself, but let's say you do want to sit and just watch CNN or whatever. At that point, think about it even in normal winters, okay? There's usually a lot less active listings in the winter, right? A lot less. Like, you know, depending on where you live, it could be 50%, 25% of the normal listing total in June, let's say, or May, right? So there's also, because it's the holidays, less buyers out looking around than there are in spring and summer. So because of that, that's why people always say you should list your home in spring and summer, because there's more buyers out looking around. And also, I guess your home typically looks a little prettier in the spring and summer. You know, there's in some parts of the country, there's no snow on the ground or things like that. So, but those are the real reasons for it. But this is very true. And I've watched this probably I've been at this for about 30 years, but about 20 of my years, I've been watching this. I have noticed that days on market in the winter months is usually shorter for most MLSs. And the reason why is there's less competition on the market and the buyers are much more serious in the winter. This is the important part. Winter buyers are much more serious because they typically have to find a home to buy. Like, they sold their house, so now they got to hurry up and find something. As a seller, isn't that the best buyer who needs a place badly, fast? Don't you want to get in that negotiation? Like, I like those counteroffers when they're up against it. You know what I'm saying? And there aren't many other options for them to choose from because it's, you know, much lower inventory in the winter. So believe it or not, listing in the winter has tremendous advantages with regards to negotiations. You actually have a much stronger negotiation position in the winter with fewer buyers than you do with tons of buyers in the spring and summer. And you can say that's something we've seen. You can use the royal we, because I'm taking my knowledge from our office and giving it to all of you. So you guys always think Tom is loud. So real important that you convey that this is coming down through the industry from these large real estate offices. Like, this is fact. This is what they're telling us. This is what we're hearing. This is what we're being told to do. So that way it's not just your opinion versus their opinion. We don't want that, because they like their opinion more than yours. But if we tell them, hey, this is kind of the thing, make sense? What about buyers? What do you guys, okay, so let me ask you one more time. Does anybody have any good, seller scripts for sellers that want to wait until after the holidays, next year, spring, maybe after COVID to sell? There's delaying, kicking the can down the road. Anybody have any other ways to create some urgency there?
It falls down, Brian, down the road of what everybody's saying. I had a seller on the fence and pretty much told him, look, you're going to sell high right here, and you're going to purchase over here at historically low interest rates. So if it was just to go up to the norm where we were at 4.0%, I show them the difference in buying power for them as well as selling power and where the buyer pool shrinks.
That's it. I was waiting for someone to hit the interest rate thing out of the park. But yeah, that was like a big, you ever seen a curveball that doesn't curve? That was one of those. It just kind of sat up there and it just went out of the park. But yeah, that's it. That's the idea. The rates thing right now. I mean, I don't know. Did you guys feel this way like last week? I was looking at 2.5%. Did you guys see that last week? 2.5%. I mean, I have a really good interest rate on my house, but I almost refinanced it again. Like, I was like, oh my God, that's amazing. You know what I mean? Like, it's, you know, play it safe. Do it now in every way, shape, or form. This is the best buying and selling environment I've ever seen. I don't think anything's ever been close. Not in 30 years, I guarantee you that. This is about as good as it gets right now. And not only is it as good as it gets, I do not believe it's anything close to a bubble. And that's just because of supply and demand. You can't have a bubble if you don't have enough supply. It's impossible. I mean, that's the very definition of a bubble. It's the supply overflowing, forming a bubble. You know what I mean? Like, but we don't, listings are like endangered species. So I think we're the farthest thing from being overvalued that we could possibly be.
And if I can add something to that, I feel like a lot of people have skin in the game. You know, even someone who's putting 3.5% plus their closing cost into buying a home, I'll tell you, I mean, I'm not an advocate that someone puts their entire life savings into a house, but people are doing it. And you know what, when you're all your chips are in, the market could cut in half and you're not going to let that go. You're going to hold on and figure it out. I mean, that at least that's my conversation with my clients. If they are going to go all in with everything, I let them know, like, hey, in 2 years or a year or 5 years, your property value could drop. Are you going to short sale or are you going to hang on and make it work? Oh no, Philip, we're going to make it work. Right. Yeah. But I really do feel that people will find a way to hang on. I mean, I put 20% into this house. And I'm like, okay, well, if the market collapsed in the middle of COVID, you know what? We're not going anywhere. You know, we're going to be doing our thing, you know? So, but those are just the real conversations. And I think people will have a harder time walking away from their home when they're in it for 20% or more or their entire
life. Oh, there's too much equity. Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, people have so much frequent equity. I don't think we've ever had more equity in our houses as Americans than we do right now. There's so much. The market go back 20%. I don't think that's going to cause foreclosures because, I mean, we can all sell our houses.
I got a listing recently from a friend of my mom's, and they all bought their homes in 06, 07, 08, when you could buy it, you know, just by breathing on a mirror. And so she held on to this home, was negative at one point $300,000, and now is up $150,000 because she held on.
Hang on. Philip, let me prove your point. I've shown you guys this before a bunch. I use this thing so much. It's unbelievable. But if I were you, I would too. But I'm going to show it to you just because it proves that point. And boy, I'd be showing this to my clients in a really, really big way. But you can see here that, move some stuff out of your way. You can see here, this is starting in like 1960. And this is average housing prices in America as they increase. And this was 2006. Ish. And you can see the market started to go down into 2007, 2008, 9, and by 10, we're back up. You know, by about 2011, we're flying back up again. So basically what you're saying, Philip, is these years right in here, you got to hang on. And this is the longest we've ever had to hang on in the history of the interest rate, which is back to the 1930s.
Well, 70s when we got off the gold standard.
Yeah, there you go.
Took off.
Yeah, you could see, take a look at this. This is the biggest dip we've ever had in housing prices. And we're talking about not a real big dip there. Take a look over here. Average price went from 244 down to 200. What percentage of a drop is that? 10%, 15%?
20%
drop. Okay, there's your so let's say that Philip buys his house at 20% down here at the top. Worst case scenario, you buy at the very top. You lose all of your equity that you just put down, in theory. I mean, if you tried to sell your house, you'd lose it. But you're going to hold on. And all you need to do is hold on for 3 years. And you got your 20% back. This example that I'm showing you here is the worst it's ever been. And, oh, by the way, when this thing started, we had about 9 times the housing inventory we have right now. We were totally in a bubble. We were giving loans away with not even checking, verifying where people work. We were doing some really strange things on Wall Street. There's a lot of terrible things that were going on. None of those things really happening anymore. Certainly not the supply and demand problem, which is the big one, as you know. So using this, I know a lot of you guys have this. You probably want me to give it to you, huh? Again, yes? I'll put it in there again.
FYI, those charts you can find on the SRAR.
Is that an MLS?
It's the, our MLS.
Nice.
Or CAR. Yeah,
you're right. There, a lot of these things are a lot of good charts showing this stuff on your local MLSs. So get to know what your MLS provides by way of data and charts. Some are better than others, but there's usually enough go-tos in there for you to get. And guys, when I say this, anytime I talk about scripts, we always worry about being manipulative and stuff like that. Like we're trying to convince someone to do something that they don't want to do. No, only in so much as it applies to, for example, if you said you want to get in shape and I said you got to wake up at 6 a.m. and go to the gym every single morning and work out, you might say, okay, that's not fun, but I want to be in shape. So I'm going to make you do something you don't want to do to get the results you want of being in shape, right? That's kind of what we're doing here. You want to get moved. You want to get the most money. Let's play it safe and do it right now to make sure we get a bird in the hand covered. That's how I feel. I don't want to know what the market looks like in April. There's too many things that could happen between now and April. I know one thing's for sure. You put your house on April, so is everybody on your street's going to be doing the same dang thing. I know that's not good. There's one other objection handler to sellers who want to wait until after the holidays to list their home for sale. And the last objection handler that I can think of, I probably know some others, they got to come out of here, was they need to remember that at this low interest rate, the amount of buying power people have, right? Because someone help me out here. Let's say we have I'm going to try to pick a number that's in between all of you. Let's say we've got a $500,000 property and the interest rate's 2.5%. I might be able to qualify to purchase that home at 2.5%. But if the rates go up to 3.5%, which is totally not unrealistic, it's still crazy low, I might only qualify to buy something for $475,000. See what I'm saying? So when rates go up, buyer demand actually drops just because of ability. They still may want the house, they can't afford it. So now I don't even look at that house, I go over here. Make sense? So buying power is important. The interest rate, the other thing I really want to highlight that we talked about on the interest rate a minute ago is the interest rate, yes, it impacts the buying power, but now, I mean, you're probably selling a house that has an interest rate of 4% or higher would be my guess, right? Not too many people sell them that got something below 4, but there's some. But not too many. So 4% or higher is the person selling. They're going to go buy a new house, a house that they want more than the house they have at 4%, and lock in at 2.5. I mean, that's huge. Financially, that's a brilliant move. You just took away 1% of wasted interest you pay on your biggest asset every year. Financially, anyone's going to tell you that's a good move, so long as you like that house better or equal as much. Okay, any more seller side objections to people who want to wait to sell? Objection handlers. Okay, let's go on the buyer side. Okay, go ahead, Philip.
I was just going to share those who have, you know, let's say they're a married couple, you can get up to what, $500,000 on your primary home here in California as a write-off. And so some people who might be on that bubble where, you know, you can show them, hey, you're going to net after your closing cost $480,000 or $500,000. Maybe, I don't know if people have talked about that, but that's a great tip too. Instead of waiting for more value that you're going to pay tax on, if that's your mindset that they're going to make more money in April, but it's going to be past that threshold, maybe it is a time to sell now. But I've had that dialogue too, you know?
Yeah, I like that. I do. I like that. Okay, good. Flip to the buyer side. I'm curious, do you guys have any buyers that are waiting? You do? What are your buyers waiting for? Let's hear what the buyers are waiting for.
They're waiting for the market to crash.
I love it when they say, God dang. Anything else? You want the world to end too? Any other, while we're at it?
The outcome of the election causing more problems.
Yeah. So we're going to wait until we have those problems?
Yeah.
COVID.
And wait till, like, safety? Is that what we mean by COVID? Safety? That's a tough one. But yeah, got it.
They are talking about that some people are have financed some quotes, some monthly payments, and then by next year they end up losing their homes. So they do that talk.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot of the similar stuff that we're hearing on the listing side, where we got to get that we got to pull those. We got to pull our charts out, right? We got to show them that the likelihood of the entire market crashing, like Des said, it's pretty slim if you look at the historical history of prices. Like what felt like the end of the world in 2008, when you go back and look at it, it's like, oh boy, wish I'd have just hung on. I mean, I don't know why everybody was dumping. You know what I mean? Like seriously, if it was your personal residence, shouldn't have dumped. It was a mistake. I mean, there's no way to argue it. You know, if it was your personal residence. Now, if you couldn't afford it, like if you, you know, like, but I found it was very few that couldn't afford it. It was mostly people just trying to dump it because they'd get out of it, you know, and that's, so that's tough stuff. But yeah, that's, I think showing that chart's important. I'm going to show you another one that I think will help with that. I don't know that I show you guys this one that much, but I think this is also important to show.
Brian, I have a question for you.
Sure.
I feel like lately the biggest objection that I'm dealing with sellers is like, yes, we can get your house sold quickly, but then they're concerned because then they don't see, you know, nothing coming on the market. So then they don't feel like, they're like, well, what if we can't find a house that we want?
There you go. Okay. Anybody have any thoughts on how to handle that one?
And I just feel like right now, like I have three people that are just like on the fence about it, like ready to sell their house. But then they're like, well, we just haven't seen anything recently that we like. And it's like, I don't know if it's just something that they're just going to have to miss out on a couple to realize that they have to list their house before they find, because obviously no one's going to even look at an offer with a house that like needs to be listed, which right, I've explained, yeah. But I don't know if there's a better way, if you have better ideas on that.
Yeah. Yeah. It really starts up front, and they'll say, I don't want to list my house until I can find a home to buy. Right. Mm-hmm. So what I'm going to tell to that person is I'm going to say, hey, right now, if you find a home to buy, your house isn't even up for sale. My first question is, are you comfortable having two mortgages at once? My first question, got to know the answer to that. If they say yes, I'm like, hey, let's wait until you find a house, right? If they say no, that we can't qualify for that house till we sell the other one, or we don't want to pay two more, I'm going to say, whoops, now we got a problem. Because if you can't have two at once, then we absolutely cannot wait until you find the house. You notice how I'm not leaving any room in here to make a decision?
Not in this market.
No, because you can't. If I tell you that's okay because I'm this nice people-pleasing realtor that just wants to be a yes guy, I'm like a doctor telling you, you know what? Marlboros aren't that bad of a cigarette. Just smoke the Marlboro Lights and cut it down to two packs a day, buddy. We're good. Fist bump. Let's have a shot and get out of here. Like, that's that doctor. That's you. You're just being nice, telling everybody what they want to hear. I'm not saying you, Spencer, but you get what I'm saying. Like, that's what happens if we don't tell them with absolute certainty by a professional that understands the process, that if we try to do it your way, there's a reason no one does it your way. And guess what? No one does it. Think about it. What percentage of homes in your MLS are going to get a property under contract with a contingency of selling their home first? I got a bunch of zeros going up.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'll even let you have 1%. I don't care. I still don't like working on 1% chances, right? Or even 10%. You know, it's very few. If you look, there are very few contingencies happening unless you get up into the way high price stuff where there aren't many buyers competing. But other than that, if you're down in the normal ranks, if you do it that way, you're going to find a house you want. You're going to get all crazy and put your house up for sale. And you're not going to get the freaking house because you weren't ready to go. But if you put your house up for sale first, put a sign in the yard, and they have it listed, even that shows, okay, these people are close. If you get it under contract, now it's like, whoa, okay, this is almost barely a contingency, right? And what I would tell them, I say, you know, what they're worried about, Spencer, what your clients are worried about is they don't want to be homeless. You know what I mean? They don't. And I would just say to them, hey, there is, and I know that's your main concern is that you're going to sell your house and you're not going to be able to find something you want to buy. So here you are without a home during COVID. Like, what do you do if they tell you to shelter in place? I'm going to shelter. Like, it's, sorry, I wouldn't make fun of them or the homeless. But what I would say is I'm not going to let that happen to you. Here's how I'm going to protect you from that. Number one, we're going to list your house for sale now. Okay. So we're going to put it up. We're going to sign the agreement. I'm going to get the stager out there, get the photographers taken. I'm going to get it ready to put up on the market. We're going to get some showing scheduled. People are going to come through it, look at it. We're probably a few weeks down the road, maybe a month down the road now. Then some offers are going to come in. We're going to negotiate those offers back and forth. we have to decide if you found a house by then or not. And that's usually a few weeks down the road. Make sense? And in our experience, 85% of our clients find a home before that house even goes on the market. And you will see that's true. Why? Because for these next 3 weeks, they're going to be looking with a sense of urgency out of a position of panic because they're scared. They got to find a house. So they'll finally get off their duff and really start looking and really start considering making realistic concessions. Like, you know what, to get that pool, we may need to go with a little and pay a little bit more to get it. Or, you know what, we'll take the extra, you know what I mean? They'll start making some, they're not going to keep looking for this perfect unicorn that's very tough to find anytime soon. So they get purposeful. So that's why. And I will tell them, you will get purposeful too. In all likelihood, you will find that house before by this time. But let's say you don't. Okay, so you don't. Not the end of the world. You got a little bit more time because what'll happen is you've got all the way until the offers come in. Then the offers come in. If we still haven't found a house by the time we've got our first offer, we're probably a month down the road. I can always put a seller's contingency on there. We'll sell it to you contingent upon us finding a replacement property. And guess what? Everybody lets you do that type of contingency. You know why? Because you're the freaking seller. And sellers can do whatever they want in this world. Never before have sellers had more power than right now. I could say, I want a seller contingency to find a replacement property and I want you to wear a pink shirt for 3 weeks. Why? Because you're a buyer. That's why. Get in line. You're in a different social class than me. Being elitist whenever I can. So the, it's the German, I don't know. So the point of the matter is I want us focused on getting that house up for sale so we can get you moved. If we keep looking for houses without your house up for sale, you're going to keep getting disappointed because you're going to keep missing out and possibly even miss out on your dream home because you weren't ready. The house finally came up for sale. You wanted to go get it. In you go with your contingent offer against those three other cash buyers. See why we don't do that, Spencer? Because they'll never get the house if they don't put the horse in front of the cart.
Thank you for the horse metaphor. That helped.
Yes. Oh, it's right. You're a horse girl. I like it. Yeah. She rides horses. I don't call her horse girl.
And also, yeah. The big aha, thank you, Brian, is how you painted the picture being lengthy. I think what I've been doing myself is like, you know, things are turning in a dime. So they think they're going to be out in, you know,
yeah, spread it out.
5 days. Right. I love how you painted that picture to be, don't worry, you got a month, and then you got another month. Yeah. And then I love that. Thank you.
You bet. I mean, because you need the time to do your work. You got to get the stagers, photographers, get all everything ready to go. So when it hits the market, we go big all at once. And you got, I mean, but if you find your dream home tomorrow, I can't get all that done to go big at once. This is too much work. You know, I mean, people got to do some work for me here. So that's how we throw it out there. We really put that out there frontly. And I'm telling you, you got to feel good about it. You got to really believe in your heart that it's better for them to play it safe and get it done now. And boy, do I feel that. I don't think I've ever been more confident in that feeling than I ever have right now. Because stuff is weird. And if you want to move, get it done while you still can. I don't know what's going to happen next, but it could, you might be like limited to a room in your house. Yeah, no one can go in master bedrooms anymore, like, or something weird like that. Who knows? But I would get the house you freaking want right now. You know, that's the idea. So any other objection handlers you guys have been using or issues for lacking urgency that you can think? We got a lot, man. Quite a few of them right there. I like that one, Spencer. That was really good. Let me show you the last thing I was going to show you. I kind of, we jumped on that one a little bit. So let me show you, this is one more. This one, it needs to be updated a little bit, I just realized, but I think it could still work for you. And I will share it with you. Okay, so this talks about interest rates. You've probably seen these a little bit more frequently, but you can see interest rates over the course, all the way back to like 19, what is that, 60, 65? This is the history of the mortgage interest rates over time. And you can see back in the early 80s, things got a little weird, started using credit cards to buy houses. And then throughout the 80s, they slowly dropped all the way down into the mid 90s. In the 90s, they kind of leveled out, you know, around that seven, you know, anywhere from 7 to 8% through there, typically, sometimes up to 9. And then the perfect storm hit, man. 9/11 hit, housing market hit, started drop. The Fed started dropping all kinds of mortgage rates, started buying back mortgage-backed securities to manually keep interest rates low. That's when we got hooked on crack as a country. And that happened in about 2002, just to let you know. So whatever you're hearing about Obama or Bush, I'm just going to tell you, we started buying back mortgage-backed securities in 2002. Just to let you know. And we've been doing it ever since. And our president, current president, was doing it a year ago. This is not a political party thing. Every president, both Republican and Democrat, been doing this. We have been getting high on the hog here for about 18 years. And then, of course, we had some stimulus and stuff like that later. It didn't really apply to real estate so much, but makes sense. So showing them this, I mean, look at the 2.5% line. It's actually the lowest line on there. It says 2.5%. Like, you, it actually can go below this. I never really thought I'd have to worry about that, but apparently I do. Because here we are, and you can even see, if you lock in right now, I mean, just a year ago, we're half the interest rate. It was 5% a year ago. Or 2.5. Giddy up. Okay, so I'm going to put that in there before we leave, in case that one helps you. I think you could say it goes out to 2020. It stops at 2015, but the line keeps going a little bit, so maybe that'll help you. So I'll throw that little chart in there too, so you've all got that one along with the other one. Any other objections you want to throw out there? Thoughts, questions, concerns after that? Comments?
Just a comment.
Yeah.
You know, I found that no matter what the objections are, it's always having more people to work with. You know, like five people could tell me the same thing and I gave it my best or whatever to help overcome it. And it's just having five more people to work with. I mean, that's anytime I've had an attitude problem or an activity problem, I just go back. I'm like, oh, I ran out of people to lead follow up. So I should probably, you know, create more interest, do more things, do more activities. Right. And sure enough, things happen.
Now's the time, guys. Like, we're finally taking a breather. Finally, it's been a real long harvest season this summer for lots of reasons. And I think for like a week or two with school getting back in session, football starting, it's like, oh, things feel remotely normal. Like, but a little bit of the buyer demand has slowed a little. And I think it's temporary because there's nothing to tell me otherwise. Because every time this year when school starts out, there's a little lull in sales. So guys, the best thing you can be doing right now is to say, okay, summer's over. It's time to lead generate all the way up until Christmas. And I would, if I were you, I would do exactly what Des said. I would call everyone in my SOI, because I doubt many of you have done that in a while. Call everyone. We need listings. Who do you know? Not necessarily them. Like, I'm not calling you to say, can I list your house? I'm saying we need listings. Who do you know? Here's why. Housing crisis, low inventory, all that stuff we discussed earlier. That's that key. Focus right now. We need to generate more leads. What you do right now affects your December tremendously. Could affect your November too. So what you do in September matters. So big, big push on lead generation, big, big push with accountability. You know, we got Jody on here somewhere as an accountability coach. I'd check in with her. Do what it takes to keep yourself in lead generation activities right now. Do what it takes. Get an accountability partner, hire a coach, just grab a buddy, bet $50 or something, you know, that you do your contacts every week, whatever it takes. But right now, head down. What you do now puts food on the table in December, if that makes sense. So now is the time for lead generation every year this time, especially this year. All right? Well, sound good. Guys, thank you. There's a whole bunch of good objection handlers on there and scripts and stuff like that. You guys did a great job and a lot of collaboration today. All right, guys. So we'll see you back here next week. Same time, same channel. Thank you. Bring topics for me, guys. So I love it when I start out and I say, what do you want to talk about? If you can't remember it, email me or something or text me or do something so you remember it. All right, guys. Have a fun one. Well done. And I'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Real Estate Trainer Podcast, sponsored by Eisenhower Coaching and Consulting. For more information about real estate coaching or to watch Brian's training videos, check out therealestatetrainer.com or find us on social media. And remember, don't forget to subscribe to this podcast so you get the latest episodes as soon as they're available.